plug, I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug, I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. Told the plug, I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug, I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I'm in Cal every week. I go hard.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/NewHavenIndependent or go to your Facebook page and look us up and hit see first, and then you'll get to see all the great shows that we have here on 103.5 New Haven Independent WNHH, such as the Joe Ugly Show and
Mayor
Love
Monday.
Babs.
Mayor Monday is Mayor one of my Monday, favorite shows, personally. Yeah. I really
and of course Harry the Brave.
And Harry the Brave.
Harry the Brave breaking the mainstream.
Yeah,
media.
Breaking the mainstream media. Joe, it's great to see you, Kiba. It's amazing
yeah,
to
we
see
got
you.
The whole
Joe.
Hey, hey. It looks great.
Kiba is trooping it all over the place.
Yeah.
She's up at the Hartford office. So if you're in Hartford, you still have some time to get down to the office after the show.
Yep, we're opening at 3 today.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Just, she did that just so she could be here today.
That's right.
Talk to the people.
So we're live on my Instagram, and we're going to be live on Kiba's Facebook in a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Harry the Brave has us on everything, right? He's
yep.
got us on SoundCloud.
So we're good. We're all over the place. I put the link to our SoundCloud up every week, obviously, so people can. All right.
So everybody knows we're on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Periscope, StreamMe.
No, that's right.
Smashcast, Facebook Live.
Love it.
Look at that. And TuneIn Radio if you want to listen to just the audio.
That's awesome.
So
I love that TuneIn Radio part there. We love all these.
Soon we'll get an app.
And the SoundCloud. After the show, we'll have the SoundCloud podcast. So.
That's right.
All right. So.
What do you got going on, Joe?
Well, I had a very interesting weekend. Last Friday, I attended an event where Mayor Ned Lamont was there.
Yes, sir.
Governor-elect.
Governor Ned Lamont was there, mm-hmm. and I actually had the opportunity to go on the air and talk a little bit about legalization. But beyond that, I actually was able to speak to Ned on stage after he spoke, mm-hmm. and I presented him a marijuana leaf pin.
Very nice.
And a normal t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I got to get mine, too.
Yeah. I shook his hand, and I said, Ned, thank you very much for supporting legalization. I said,
yes.
We've been working really hard on this for 3 years, and we really, really appreciate the fact that you're going to step up to the plate and legalize it. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, yes, we're going to do it. He goes, we are going to legalize it this year. And he go, and I said, and are you going to let us grow our own? And he looked at me and
that's
goes,
a maybe.
We're fighting for it.
That's a maybe.
That's what he said that. He says, we're fighting for that.
Fighting for it.
That's right.
So, I mean, it was good. It was short. It was brief. But then, of course, Paul, me, and Brian got to talk to mm-hmm. his assistant for a while and kind of, you know,
pick
open
his ear,
the doors
pick
to
the
him
brain.
And let him know we want to meet with him and everything. But it was very nice. He was, you know, from what he said on the air, from what he said to me in front of the crowd and everything, was that they are going to legalize it this year. That's what he said. We're going to do it. So, I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's why I
agree with you 100%.
So I know someone else who had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And he said that they were going to legalize this year. But he also said that the money that is generated from cannabis will go to not to the general fund, but to the Connecticut State Structural Fund or something.
Infrastructure.
Build buildings
roads,
and roads and bridges. I was like, oh, hell no.
Right?
Like, I was like, you know, this money should go to repair the communities that were damaged from the criminalization
and
of
back to the communities to support the actual businesses.
And it was so interesting because this person was like really against that idea and started talking about handouts. You know, like, why would people want handouts? And I got really, really upset.
Whoa.
Well, I don't blame you. I get you. That's your point. Yep.
Yeah. And so it's just that all of these elements are really important to how legalization is rolled out.
Right.
Where's the money going? Oh, who's going to have the opportunity to be engaged in the industry? We could all be very, very, very excited about, you know, adult use, but how excited will we be if adult use is put into play and it's just like the medical marijuana program?
Same people growing it.
The same strains.
Same
cookies.
I'd rather not be very excited. Yeah.
I'd rather help them build their monopoly. I'd rather keep it. A medical program.
Yeah, you do your. That's right. I agree with you. And there's a lot of controversy. We're going to talk to Josh about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, Ned's going to legalize it. We don't have to work anymore. No.
Oh, please.
Because those opponents, it's not a done deal. Josh even said he had a whole debate with Candeloria about this. He's not quitting. Candeloria, the opposition is not backing down. If anything, they're doubling down.
Clarity's.
Did you see that little thing they did? Like,
we have to think about the public safety.
It's the babies.
And the babies. She used the word not detriment to society. It was almost worse, like the degradation of society.
Whoa.
I was like, how do you get to just throw words around like this without having anything to substantiate hysteria you're creating?
So this is also where the towns and cities that don't support legalization, they will put in another CVS. They will put in another Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. They will
put more
liquor stores.
Uh-huh.
Every pharmacy is the same as if you were looking at a medicinal or a recreational pot shop. In all honesty, we call it a pot shop or whatever we want to call them. Mm-hmm. All the fancy names, apothecaries, collectives. But if you're okay with a private pharmacy going into your blocks.
Or a liquor store.
You're bringing even more danger into the area. How many times are CVSs robbed? We don't hear about them.
What's the biggest thing that gets robbed?
Exactly.
Besides a gas station.
It's a pharmacy.
Liquor store, too.
Liquor stores, pharmacies. They go in there. They take everything. It's crazy.
So, yeah, that's the point. It's not over, guys.
No.
The opposition is going to double down.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Candeloria is already out there spouting some stuff.
Oh, they're putting
out
his lies.
Cannabis is addictive, and we're going to make a drug.
Oh my gosh.
Joe, you got that info, right?
I saw that shiz.
Okay, yeah. So
Joe,
let's talk. We can go right
into
that. Gabriel, you saw that, right?
I did.
All right. So an experimental drug that boosts the brain's own cannabis-like chemical may withdraw symptoms in cannabis use in men who are dependent or who have a cannabis use disorder, a trial has shown. Now, this trial, the treatment here works by blocking FAAH, an enzyme that breaks down a principal natural endocannabinoid chemical in the brain called
anandamide.
So, we all know what anandamide is. It's a terpene.
That's it.
And it's included in cannabis. And it does give you a good feeling. It gives you a good feeling. It's one of the cannabinoids that gives you the good feeling.
Yeah, they call it the blissful.
The blissful cannabinoid.
And it's not THC, so of course they'll be able to use it.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead, Jeff.
So what they're doing is they're blocking this thing called FAAH, which regulates the anandamide levels in your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sends
the signals to let the body know how much is needed where it needs to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is by inhibiting the FAAH, they're going to allow your own natural anandamide to flow, right? And you will not need the cannabis as much. So what they're basically saying is that they have, just by using anandamide, their own, and a cannabinoid that is already in cannabis, they found a way to give people a drug that will lower their withdrawal symptoms and keep them away from cannabis. So if they so choose to quit, they're not, I mean,
they need to focus their attention elsewhere.
That's a study. Go find a
withdrawal medication or something better than methadone.
Why are you
focusing on cannabis that didn't kill anybody?
No.
Let's just say.
Well, a familiar name popped up in this.
Dr. D'Souza. Our favorite hypocrite.
Professor Dr. Deepak Cyril D'Souza from Yale University School of Medicine, who led the research, said a lot of other drugs have been tested for their ability to reduce cannabis use and withdrawal. But until now, none have been consistently shown to work against both withdrawal symptoms and relapse. Furthermore, unlike cannabis or its principal active constituent, Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, FAF inhibitors do not appear to have psychoactive or rewarding effects and therefore not likely to be abused.
All right. So now...
And it was only tested on men. I want you to know this.
This is one of those crazy Dr. D'Souza, 25 to 50. And they didn't even know they were probably going through a study like this. They probably responded to one of those ads that says...
Keepers, are man.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. They put these out and they go, do you smoke marijuana?
Oh, yeah,
I hear them on the radio all the time. I hear them.
But I do remember these studies coming out.
Are you looking to stop smoking marijuana?
But I mean, I just want the general public to kind of like look at this scenario. So yes. We're talking about legalization. Now
that's
coming
the
up
biggest
with this
thing.
Like, it's just all about the Benjamins,
it
baby.
Really is.
That's
right.
All it's about. They just want to be able. And they want to create this hysteria too,
right?
Or like this whole
right
thing.
Around
like,
now, right
yeah,
now,
yeah,
doing
right
it.
Now. Just because we're talking about legalization, it's on the horizon, and this is their tactic. It's
yeah.
a tactic, people. Don't fall for it.
Yes. Rhode Island is looking now. Apparently, Rhode Island is looking into it. And I'm reading the article about Rhode Island, and it says the same thing that SAM is up there
yep.
saying the same thing, trying to get right in there and going right against it. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be getting a lot of opposition too.
Yo, but the world is full of so much negativity, nonsense, and death and violence. Why are you focusing on a plant?
Let's look at that
yeah.
reasonable
of
thing.
All
you're
the
now
things.
Demonizing right. the cannabis user, because that's
yeah.
what you're doing. It's addictive, which yep. we've already mm-hmm. shown that the percentage is so low that it's almost unreasonable. And then on top of it, the recidivism rate, they said, well, it's going to stop relapse. Ultimately,
yeah.
what's the real...
Here's the
you
kicker.
Have to be scared. You have to like be scared not to do something for you to... To want to stop ultimately. So, like,
here's what it says here, the kicker. Research shows that 10% of regular users become dependent on it, with risk of addiction higher if started in the individual's teens or if used every day. 10%. That is minuscule mm-hmm. compared to it as on the scale of addictive drugs. It is the lowest on the scale, lower
One
than
might
nicotine.
Say it's just a habit.
And there's the difference between having effective medicine that you continue
right.
to use.
Exactly.
Period.
That's just
where one would say that's where they're addicted. No, they're not addicted.
Yeah. I'm a
it
cannabis
well.
Consumer.
Yeah.
I don't plan on stopping consuming cannabis because it helps me deal with the everyday to day of my life. Pain, stress,
if you took your
anxiety.
Blood pressure medicine mm-hmm. every day. Would they call you a blood pressure medicine addict?
No,
Lipitor?
Not
are you
at
a
all.
Lipitor addict?
That's what I yeah. asked them. I said, has anybody ever been addicted to lisinopril? Is there a support group for that?
Right. You know, I'm like, a Lipitor addict.
Yeah.
No, I got because I got to take it every day.
Yeah.
Give me
Meanwhile,
a break.
Cigarettes are still killing people and teenagers
yeah.
are still smoking
alcohol.
Them.
Yep.
Like alcohol is still causing accidents and people to beat
every
their wives.
Day.
Every single
yep.
day.
Death yep. from cirrhosis. Don't even forget the physical mm-hmm. lung cancer,
oh my
cirrhosis.
God.
These are physical ailments that come from that, not just the
and
car
cannabis
accidents.
Cannabis actually helps to heal all of those
yep.
things,
right.
all of the yep. damage that it
And
caused.
Now we know why
so
they
y'all,
made it illegal.
So, y'all, if you want to be addicted to something, I suggest cannabis.
And this just goes back to the idea that they say, well, relapse.
And if you don't, now they got a pill for it.
Oh,
yeah.
What's the problem with relapsing on cannabis? Are they going to overdose? That's where you might get that.
Right.
If somebody relapses, they're redoing what is harmful to them.
Mm-hmm.
That might kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So cannabis has never been
kill them.
Declared lethal in any way.
Ever.
The lethal
mm-hmm.
dose
how it
of cannabis cannot be consumed.
You know how cannabis
Let's hear
can
this
kill
one.
You?
Yes, how?
A pound falls on your head?
If a ton of it falls
yeah.
on your head.
Uh-huh. I think they
but
did
then
the
all you have to do is take a couple of deep breaths.
Or a couple of chews.
Or a couple chews, yeah. yeah. And then right back, pop up.
And then what did they say? It would have to be, for you to overdose on marijuana,
and die,
you would have
a lethal dose.
You would have to ingest a pound like I think it's smoke a pound in 30 seconds or something like that.
You couldn't do it. It's not physically possible.
And you would actually die from asphyxiation versus the actual smoke.
It has never been declared a poison.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. We know nicotine is an absolute poison.
Well, the studies that were shown when they did this were... they were overdosing the rats, basically asphyxiating with the smoke. Lab animals with smoke, right, Joe?
They weren't dying from the weed.
They smoke were dying from the, yeah, they were dying from the asphyxiation.
Anytime they
were,
just put straight THC, like inject, they would just freak out, of course, because they didn't know what, but then they'd sleep, wake up, and they'd be fine the next day.
And then they were blowing the smoke into the
diet. Wait, I would love to know what the side effects are of the addiction pill. That's what I want to know.
They didn't say anything about that. They didn't say anything about that.
But I bet you it's like headache, diarrhea, death.
You know, I love when the first side effect is may cause death.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's two things I wanted to bring up real quick.
Sure.
People think that because they're in a state where you get to vote, that the will of the people is going to be brought forth, right? Mm. So we have two examples here, Utah and Michigan. Both legalized cannabis through the voter, you know, initiatives. Right? And voted in a certain bill.
Right.
Okay, that the voters thought that this was the bill they were going to get with grow rights and all this kind of stuff. Well, Utah went in after they voted it in and totally stripped the bill down. All the lawmakers in there who are Republican mostly, majority Republican, took out the grow rights.
Ooh.
Can't grow right. It eliminates options to home cannabis. It largely discourages dispensing of edibles, and it narrows the list of qualifying condition and significantly reduces the number of permissible state licensed dispensaries.
And this was for the medical use program.
This was for their medical use
program.
That's
rough.
So they voted in a certain amount of dispensaries, they cut it. They voted in certain conditions, they cut it. They voted in grow rights, they cut it. This is what the legislators did, and they cut edibles. This is what the legislators did to the will of the people in Utah.
Yeah.
And in Michigan, they're trying. They already did it. The governor has already signed it. Literally, they have a special session just to do this.
Yep.
They did it. The governor signed it. It's a done deal. The people in Utah have lost all those rights. Mm. Now, in Michigan, we know they just started last week, right? Yep. Everybody's happy. Yay, 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 rah, rah, rah. No, the lawmakers want to go in there and do the same thing.
They went
for the rec program. They want to strict grow rights, right?
They already have
it.
Grow rights. That's the thing.
They have
great grow rights.
And they want to strip them for rec. So keep them for medical, strip them for rec. Mm.
That's why you need that medical card. Go see Kieber. Get that stuff now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, there will be, and that's what I think people don't understand. Like, there will still be a viable medical market, like in Connecticut. Actually, I think most people who are consumers, that would be your preferred route because you'd have some savings.
There would be savings.
Yeah.
I advocate for patients to get their medical card, and then with the allure of rec, don't get rid of your medical card.
No.
There's always going to be an incentive to have your medical card, like anything else.
Better medicine, a higher...
Something.
Able to possess.
A higher limit.
Higher taxes. Limit.
Ideally, the grow rights would be for medical patients.
Yeah.
See, that, I mean? Yeah, that ideally, we could probably settle for that in Connecticut.
And that would be a great compromise because our medical program is large.
We could use
You know what I mean?
And
I think the rec market wouldn't be hindered on that because you would still require them to have... There's the loopholes back and forth, but if there was medical grow rights... That would really offset a lot of it, and it would keep and all the revenue that the government might be scared, the state might be scared of losing.
They get it in rec.
They're going to get it in rec, and they're going to get it in medical as well. Because how many you'll have an upshoot of rec patients, medical patients.
Our call is in.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
Josh.
Hello.
Elliott. Hey.
On the phone, we have Josh Elliott. Josh, I want to give you a proper introduction here. Josh Elliott is the state representative for the 88th district. He's starting to serve his second term this year after being reelected in 2018.
Stood in the rain for him.
Congratulations. But
during the 2017 regular session, when Elliott served his first term, he spearheaded efforts to legalize the use of recreational marijuana and sought to equalize property taxes and advocated for establishing a more equitable tax structure. In 2017, he supported efforts to establish a family paid and medical leave system that would be funded by employees at a 0.5% payroll tax. He also fought to increase Connecticut's minimum wage. Elliot, who grew up in Connecticut and attended high school in Hamden, graduated with a BA in sociology from Ithaca College and later went on to obtain his JD at Quinnipiac School of Law. During the 2017 legislative session, Elliot fought to expand higher education assistance by supporting legislation that would have allowed Dreamers to access institutional aid. And since 1995, he has volunteered for Guiding Eyes for the Blind from 2015 to 2016, and also worked as an organizer for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. So I'm not going to read about what you did as a freshman in legislature. But we,
that was thorough.
Yeah, well, I got it right off your website. I'm online. There's a little more to it, but I. But anyway, Josh, we know what you stand for. You've always stood for legalization with us, and we really, really appreciate you stood right by us, actually.
Yes, sir.
And we've always appreciated the support. But Ned Lamont has come out. Basically, he said it right to my face, shook my hand, and told me that they're going to legalize this year. But I have a feeling that it's not going to be as easy as it seems.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's easy for the governor to say that. I mean, all he has to do is pass it into law once the legislature gets it done. The question is, will and can the legislature get it done?
And how?
So, you know, we increase seats in the House. We increase seats in the Senate. We are at 92 House members, and we are at 23 Senate members that can get this done potentially. But there's still pockets of disaffected people that just don't feel like this would be good for the state. And it's not a matter of the revenue. It's not a matter of anything other than public health and safety, or that's at least what they talk about.
And this is both sides of the fence, right, Josh?
That say that this shouldn't be done.
This is both sides of the fence, right? It's not just Republicans saying this. There are still some Democratic holdouts, correct?
There's a lot of Democratic holdouts. Now, I haven't actually talked to people about whether or not they've flipped, but judging by what the numbers were last cycle, we still have work to do. That said, I think that this has gone beyond partisan politics. I think that Republicans will be on board. I can tell you that when I brought this bill out on the floor last year, a number of Republicans came up to me and said, I support this initiative. What they wanted to see was protections to make sure it didn't get in the hands of minors. They want protections in terms of how we go after drivers who are under the influence. But those are the big two drivers of keeping this illegal or at least not regulated. So I think there's opportunities there, and I really spent the majority of my first 2 years elected getting to know my compadres in the House on my side of the aisle, and I'm spending much more time talking to Republicans about this issue because I do think there's a number of people that we can pick off. We lost Melissa Gibran, who was an outspoken advocate for the Republicans in the House. She ran for Senate, lost that Senate race. But I think that there is definitely a pocket of people that we can pick off on the other side of the aisle.
Well, that's a good thing to hear. I've noticed that Representative Candelora is already out there sounding the drum against it. He's got an early start. He's got an early start. I saw you already had a little debate with him.
Yep.
And so I want the people out there to know that our work is not done and we still have to get up there. And the second thing is, Josh, what type of legalization are we looking at? I mean, the bill that went forth last year seemed pretty comprehensive and pretty fair. Mm-hmm. It included grow rights. It included the Cannabis Control Commission. It included diversion of funds into neighborhoods that, were disproportionately affected by the war on drugs. It included a lot of the good things in there. And I'm wondering now if this bill that we're going to put forth this year will include the same things or will it be a different version of last year's bill?
And before you go into that, could you just talk a little bit about the Progressive Caucus and what your purposes are and then about the bill that you guys presented?
So the Progressive Democratic Caucus, which I helped spearhead last year, actually, I keep saying last year, but it was just like 9 months ago. we have legs. You know, we have 35 House members, and now we're upwards of 46 of our 92. So it's very possible that we'll have a majority of our House caucus. And we're also talking with some senators as well, so we can have some support from upstairs, because one of the biggest issues in terms of passing legislation is that communication between the Senate and the House, and usually, historically, there's not a ton of communication there. So we did just have a press event this last week, and James Elvis is a co-chair. Joshua Hall is the other co-chair. I think they'll do a phenomenal job. They're both really good on these issues. And our first press conference was regarding minimum wage, it was regarding paid family medical leave, and of course was regarding legalization and regulation of cannabis. So this is going to be on the top of our list to push through. You know, the question becomes, how early can we get this done? The Republicans, given that they're in the minority, deep in the minority now, their power is going to be the power of the clock. And so the longer we wait to put this up on the board, the more power they have, because then the estimation becomes, well, if we really fight for these big things, then these small things that we know will pass with bipartisan support will die because they'll just be held up. So a lot of this now becomes strategic. But the Progressive Caucus is really going to be behind this all the way. Now, just because we have 46 members doesn't mean every single one of those members is going to be part of these bills. So we have introduced these three bills, but they won't actually hit the dock until we signed in on January 9th.
Right.
So it's been introduced, but it's not going to be available to the public until everybody's part of the caucus and all of our new legislators are actually up there and actively working. So I would highly recommend that you look over the list of co-introducers. So there's three ways that you can really support a bill, generally. You can be an introducer, you can be a sponsor, or you can be the person at the end of the day who votes green when the vote hits the floor. So there are just, you know, if you're willing to be vocal and you're willing to be public, then you should be an introducer. If you just don't want to be there at the very beginning because you want to see what sort of shape that the bill actually takes over the course of time, then maybe you want to be a co-sponsor. And if you, you have to make a decision one way or the other, push comes to shove, you're going to be a yes, then you're going to be the person that votes for at the end of the day. And I just want to remind you, and you may have already mentioned this, is that no state has passed this through the legislature yet, I believe. That may be wrong as
Vermont,
the last couple months, but my understanding was that it was only done by ballot initiative. Is that still accurate?
Vermont did pass it, but all they passed was possession and grow rights, no retail sales.
Got it. Yeah, so we would still very much be in the forefront if we were to pass this in full through the legislature.
Yes.
That's to be seen whether or not we're going to get this done. So, you know, 44 people have are willing to be introducers. So that's the number that has introduced this bill. In terms of juxtaposition, 55 and 54 were the number of introducers on minimum wage and paid family medical leave. And, you know, the more introducers you have, the more serious the bill looks and feels to the public and also looks and feels to the internal caucus. So I think a number of people that didn't introduce will be also be co-sponsors, and they just want to make sure that everything looks good. But there's a number of people that were part of the Progressive Caucus that didn't introduce. That said, there were a number of people outside the caucus that did want to be co-introducers. So I would just recommend on January 9th or January 10th, when you can see this and it's public, check to see who the people are that co-introduced, so that if you do want to advocate, you know exactly who to advocate. You don't have to talk to those 44 people. We are 100% on board. We trust the process. We'll come up with something good. But there's still a lot of lobbying to be done.
Right. So you're saying there's 92 Dems, 46 of them are sponsoring this bill, so work on the ones who aren't.
There's 44 sponsoring, and 46 are part of the Progressive Caucus.
Okay.
But so not all of the, think maybe in the high 30s of the Progressive Caucus have co-sponsored. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
So,
some people are talking about, well, you know, if this were 26 instead of 21 in terms of the age, that is when we'd be on board. So there's some people who just don't want to be part of it in terms of the way that we want to write it, which is 21 plus. But
yeah.
At the end of the day,
Sorry.
So you, there are actually legislators actually who said they support it if you made the age 26?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
That's kind of what she was scoffing at.
Yeah, but that's the part I was scoffing at.
I know. The issue there is the issue of the neuroscience and saying that, you know, that the age between whatever 18 to 25 is where you're making a bunch of neuronal connections, and then, you know, if you start earlier, you'll be more inclined to be addicted later on. Arguments which I think have some credence, but what my main argument, and you probably heard me say this on the show, you know, last week, is that if you are an adult and what you're doing is affecting you and nobody else, it is your decision and it's your responsibility to take care of yourself, and it's not the government's responsibility to be telling you what you can and cannot do.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned with government legislating morality, because it can cut the wrong way many, many times. And I think it's up to people to determine their own morality if what they're doing is not hurting other people.
Totally.
And so that's why it's important to me that we say, you know, if you are an adult, you should be allowed to make these decisions on your own.
Yep.
So have you all talked about equity? Is that going to be a part of the bill?
Can you give us a little sneak peek?
Going to be part of the bill.
Okay.
I mean, I myself would not sign on to a bill if it did not include expungement, include wins for minority communities who've been vastly affected by the war on drugs in a way that's disproportionate to use. To be able to have a stake in the market. That is important to, at the very least, the Progressive Caucus, but I believe that's important to the Dems generally.
Okay.
I would not sign on to any bill if it did not include these two major components, these two major pieces.
And,
that said, you know, the issue of home grow, the general feeling is that that's going to be a tough sell, and I don't know why yet. I don't know what the arguments are against it yet, but the general feeling is that that might not be in it. It's important to me that we get home grow. But if it comes down to the wire and it's like we either get it without home grow or we don't get it at all if we ask for home grow, I mean, I want to start somewhere and then build off of that. You know, when I first got elected 2 years ago, I really hated the idea of incrementalism. But sometimes it's like if you can increase where you're starting from and make these incremental gains, it's an easier argument to argue one small piece of a larger piece of legislation than it is to argue one whole big piece of legislation. So I understand that in a different way, just in terms of getting in that room and negotiating with different various groups, if we can have something in place, and then the only argument in 2 years or 3 years from now is just saying, hey, why don't we talk about home grow? And then the only argument is home grow and not whether or not we should legalize. You know, it's a lot easier to have these conversations because it can unravel very quickly. So I'm going to be pushing strongly for that, but I want you to be aware that that may not be a part of it.
Okay. So what is the major opposition for home grow? Because as you know, all five other New England states allow it.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
What are your thoughts on, since we already have our medical program, and incrementally including home grow into the medical program versus the recreational program?
We would settle for that.
I'd be fine with that too. And we have a lot of people who have been personally affected by this, and are personally affected by this.
Oh, you say a lot of people, and I say people in the mirrors all the time.
Yeah.
Everybody, because realistically, and I am one of your constituents. You know what I mean? I voted for you. So realistically, that home grow portion is huge. You know, I'm a Crohn's patient, and if I'm paying Hamden taxes and I'm paying for the house that I want to live in, and it's not that cheap.
let's
not be real. Let's be super realistic. You know what I mean? As progressive young adults, you know?
Is that, you know, first we have to popularize these ideas so people who are on the fence can feel comfortable that they'll get reelected and that this idea will not cripple them. So that's the first step. But then the next step, if possible, it's like, so I ran with legalization and regulation as one of my priorities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's a wide swath of us who actually ran on it as a platform.
Right.
But I can tell you that there is a wide number of people that got elected that ran on minimum wage and paid them in medical leave. And so you can bet that you can be fighting really hard for those things when they get up there, because there's this perception that your platform is what got you elected in part. So you're very committed to your platform. So if there's a way that we can make some of these issues much more popular so that they can be part of the platform, that's going to be helpful. I don't know how possible it is, because I think that there's a sense that it's like it's something that's popular, people want to do, but in terms of actually running on it, I think people have a hard time getting their minds around that.
Yeah.
But if there's a way that we can really commit people in the future to actually running on these as platform issues, it'll make it so much easier. Because at the end of the day, we can have all the arguments in the world, but if we don't have the numbers, then the arguments don't matter.
Correct.
And if someone thinks that it's going to cost them their job, they're not going to care that if they, that we should have home grow, because for them it's just, well, it'll happen eventually. And that's been what I think has been the thing that's killed us the most in Connecticut, is that everyone has the sense that it's going to happen eventually, but no one's willing to be out there and on the front lines of it, because they're so worried about what they'll get called or what the perception of them will be. And that's they're, like, being proponents of, like, increased drug use or whatever.
Yeah.
So, a lot is just going to come down to the advocacy from the outside, and I can push and yell and negotiate from the inside.
And we appreciate you very, very much.
Yes, we do.
Josh, go ahead.
So I had a question about how you all are, kind of conceptualizing the rollout of licensure. What have your conversations been around that, and how would we make it so that everybody could have access to this?
Right. So, there's a danger that you give too much power to municipalities, and that you have some adverse effects in terms of communities that have access and the people that are going to be selling. Mm-hmm. So all I'll say for now is that we are going to be looking at other states and what they've done. And I know you two are really tapped into this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be looking at the regulatory frameworks that have been in place for a few years now, and the problems with the rollout and the effects that they were not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be trying to fix those various aspects to make sure that the communities that we want to have access to in terms of retail sale are able to get into the market. No matter what you have on your record, or even if you don't have a ton of equity or capital to begin, with opening up your business, and also like fighting against some of these like big drug cartels that want to come in and do their sales. We need to find a way to make sure that we get around some of these loopholes. So, we'll have some sort of board, we'll have a lot of communication, but we want to put a lot of protections in place statutorily and not just say, hey, board, you figure it out. And we're just going to do that by talking with the various states and their regulatory bodies, because I know the regulatory bodies in these states want to do the best thing. You just sometimes don't know until you pass a law what some of those effects are going to be. So we're going to be doing our research over the next few months and just make sure that whatever we do is in accordance with what the advocates want and in accordance with what we learn from other states. I can't speak too much in terms of what those specifically will be, but our eye is always going to be on the equity piece.
That's awesome. Nice. And we appreciate you for that very much. Totally. We really do.
Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to ask you about real quick is, do you guys have any intention of regulating hemp? Including hemp.
I was going to go into that question as well. Yeah. In all honesty, I really wanted to talk.
I do not know much about it, so I'm not going to be a great voice to talk to about this.
All right. So, no, I actually had a question, just maybe a quick antidote. My business partner and I were out in Ohio. They're a big agricultural farming town, and we just so happened to get a meeting with the Department of Economic Development in Akron, which was down the road from Columbus where we were. So the way they're looking at it, and I guess this is what I would talk to you guys about as well. But Hamden is surrounded by more agricultural counties versus Hamden itself. Hamden is developing. There's industry. There's education. There's colleges, universities. It's not just one large farm community where maybe if you go up to Durham, it's all farm. And then they're not doing much industry. Where Hamden Hamden is going to be pro-cannabis. Now, what if somebody wanted to take one of the factories in the industrial area and turn that into a hemp processing plant? That's legal currently, but I don't know if zoning's in place for that. You know what I mean? Is that something that you guys might be open to a conversation for?
Yes. I don't know what the interplay would look like, so I don't know. I mean, anything that helps with the industry, I'm open to hearing.
That's awesome.
I want to talk to the people in the town. I'm planning zoning on city council. To hear about what their concerns are, but I can tell you, Hamden specifically had some really good turnover both in terms of city council and in terms of our DTC and planning and zoning, and that we have a lot of new, fresh faces that are really excited to push some things forward.
That sounds awesome.
One of my frustrations is that I think, when you think in terms of state government versus the federal government, the state is really where a lot of legislation can be perfected and then, enshrined in federal law. The same thing goes with municipal when compared to state, is that stuff that we have a hard time getting done on the state level, we should be getting on the municipal level. I think there's a lot of opportunity in Hamden specifically. Just like the state, we're very tight on budget items.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very high mill rate. I also think there's a lot of opportunity because I think that just judging by how Mike D'Agostino, Robin Porter, and myself all got elected with incredible majorities, I think that people are really, really ready for some good progress on some social issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a lot of opportunity on the municipal level to get some of these things done.
Nice.
Great.
I really appreciate
Great.
That.
Great, Josh. Yeah. All right, Josh. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And we appreciate the advice and all the help. Any last words you'd like to give?
How can we get in contact?
To our listeners,
right? Yeah.
How do we get in contact with you? And what's the best way?
I answer everybody. If you email me, I will get back to you. What I tell my constituents is I won't get back to you right away, but I will get back to you every time. And so josh.elliott@cga.ct.gov. You can find me on Facebook. I respond to people on Facebook as well. Elliot with two L's and two T's. Again, that's josh.elliot@cga.ct.gov. I would love to get feedback from people. But the biggest thing is just keep on advocating. I always say that we're sort of locked into whatever the metrics of the legislature are, and those numbers generally stay fairly static from beginning to end. And it's, the campaign cycle that really determines, where we go. But
right.
then when we're not in the campaign cycle, it's all this outside advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're not willing to put your name on this piece of legislation, just those legislators need to be asked why over and over and over again, because there's always those voices that are against change, that are against moving away from the status quo, that end up being more vocal, more angry, and they end up spreading a lot of misinformation because they really want to keep the status quo the way that it is. So it's a long road ahead, but you have to keep on advocating. And people really need to know that they can just email whoever the representative is or their senator is or call their office. You're always going to be talking to an aide. You're never going to talk to the person directly. And sometimes your email will get lost. But it's only when, you have people come out in numbers and it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. I think it's possible to get done in the next 2 years. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I don't know if I would say I'm bullish, but I think it's certainly more likely than it was last cycle. But it's going to take the help of constituencies. It cannot just get done by the advocates who are elected.
Right. I agree. We need everybody to pitch in. Anybody who's for marijuana legalization definitely has to come on, step
That's
up
right.
to the plate right now.
Yep.
All right, Josh, thank you so much. We will see you
thank
on the
you,
9th.
Sir.
Up there, we will be there with bells on.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care, my friend.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, there you have it.
I always enjoy when he comes
on. That's
why
I thought he was going to. I love it because he gives you the truth.
He's a good guy.
He's going to tell you right straight out what's going on. No BS, not, and he told it's grow rights is going to be hard.
Yeah, well,
and we knew that.
And I'm okay with grow rights not coming in for rec. And I'll say it. We'll all say it. I want it. Don't get me wrong.
But if you gave it just to medical, I'd be happy.
Yeah, you got to give it to somebody.
You have to,
Got
to
give it to somebody.
You
got to
give it some. You have to give it up.
You got to give it to somebody. Because at this point, it's exactly what they were saying. They're 6 years into the medical program. And, incremental government would have meant by now.
They would have had it. Just like we would have had hemp regulation. Oh, we'll do it down the road.
We'll do it down the road, which is fine. But now is down the road.
Yeah, the road
for
is
For medical
close.
Programs, it is here. So they should fight for medicinal home rights, medicinal grow rights. And then,
but it's a reality. Yeah, you get a good reality check from Josh. Yeah,
and the truth of the matter is, why do they not want to give us grow rights?
That and why? He didn't have an answer. I don't
it's
know
all
why.
About the money
because he can't give an answer because he can't say the. You know what I mean? I understand he can't put a
reasoning to it. Why does Connecticut think it's so special than the other five New England states?
I don't understand.
Oh, why are we so? What are we made of gold here? What are we made of glass? Maybe. Oh, we'll
glass.
Shatter.
Glass.
Yeah. We'll shatter here in
glass.
Connecticut.
Not gold. They know
our
that.
Governor needs to look out for us, because everybody else is fine. All the other New Englanders, they are
medical
okay to
rights.
Grow their own medicine, but not you, Connecticut. Not us, Connecticut. We're special.
No,
the land of steady habits. The land of steady taxes. Anyway. So, now, what's going on?
Let them know.
Well, we had questions and stuff.
What do we got? What's going on?
We have some questions.
What kind of questions we got?
Let's see. I'm trying to, so I can actually read it. Let's see. My question is, oh, this is Rajia James. Why isn't Lupus on the list?
That's a great question.
For a friend. Because people with lupus haven't gotten together and advocated for that to be added or come to us and, you know, give us what, you know, people should do their own research. You know, so if you've researched it and you found that cannabis, which I'm sure based on what lupus is,
it does
very effective, then provide that information and we'll be happy to bring that to them.
Oh, there's got to be a lupus association. Bring it to them. I mean, I know for the opioid, we had to go through a lot of work. We got together and we had to do a petition. We had to show research. Yep. We had to have doctors sign off testimonies. It is work. The doctors here do not just decide.
Correct.
Somebody has to bring it to their attention and really make them want to do it. So if you want lupus on, I hate to say it, you kind of got to get together with other lupus. Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we wouldn't mind pushing with
not
you.
Not at all.
But,
we
you know,
support you 100%.
We have a lot of agendas and a lot of things that we're focused on, so that would be helpful to be able to get that in front of the right people.
Yeah.
Who else said something? Jace. Oh, whoa. Mark. He had a couple of comments, but he said, this is the response I got from DCP in reference to when we will know about the new dispensary. Oh, I don't know what he said that for, but new dispensaries by the end of the year. Eastern Connecticut would be a great place for processing plants. Lots of empty mills.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason said the most recent farm bill has hemp legislation in it, which we've talked about on the show.
We've talked about it. It's just the question was more is would Hamden.
Connecticut.
Right. Would Hamden, is at least his district, because they have a large industrial area that's not being used currently, and they're really trying to revamp that area. And I thought that it would be great to have some of these defunct farms, defunct manufacturing facilities in highly populated areas such as the New Haven County area, where now somebody who is looking for an entry-level job doesn't have to look for Walmart. They can actually go back to manufacturing and keep the jobs close to the people as well.
You know,
a bus can run to it. You
empty storefronts. The Kmart in Milford just closed. The Sears at the mall just closed. Do you know how many open places there are that we could be putting in businesses?
Mm-hmm.
Not only, like you say, a processing plant, but how about a lighting growing store, right? A huge HTG supplies, right?
Isn't that like the foundation of like the American dream, though, to be able to partake in an industry,
in a new
be an
industry?
Entrepreneur?
What happened to those people at the turn of the century who were getting involved in all these new industries?
Yeah, exactly.
What about us?
They got
it's our
the
turn.
Rockefellers.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And this is the turn of the new
century.
They still
want to do it too.
This is the turn of the new century. And there should be new people because those old
they're dying
gazillionaires
off.
Have died off.
Yeah,
so it's not that they are drying off. They have died off.
The
now
last
it's just the company's
just died,
name.
Yeah.
Now it's just company names, and that's just going to turn into boards, and then that'll go defunct just like most other things as they go down that way.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's Blockbuster all over again. You can go to one Blockbuster in Alaska.
That's it. So we got a couple things going on. It's towards the end of the year now.
Yes, sir.
So everything's been pretty much done. We had our classes this weekend.
Thank you, everybody that came out.
Yeah, and we got some new classes coming up. They start January 12th.
We are looking forward to that.
Before that, we have December 20th, the last big party of the year.
Yeah.
The normal fundraiser down here at Terminal 110. We're going to, we're going to have come cannabis karaoke with DJ Teriyaki. We're going to have raffles and vendors, all kinds of CBD products. So if you need to buy some last minute gifts, information tables from all the various cannabis businesses around the medical businesses. And
Canna Health
will be in the house.
Yep. I'm going to be singing karaoke too. Y'all don't want to miss that.
Yeah. You know it.
You know
it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, that's
and you know, anywhere we go, anywhere I go, there's food. So there's going to be great food,
buffet.
Great people. Yeah. Like, come hang with the cool kids. That's like
$10 to get in. All you got to do is $10 and a toy.
$10 and a toy.
And this is going to go, as you see, Josh says, we're going to need money this year for legalization efforts to go up to Hartford and fight it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Possibly you're chipping in for a lobbyist. So that's what all this money that we raise goes towards. It goes towards this fight to make legalization. Yep. You heard from Josh. It's not going to be easy.
It is not going to be
not
easy.
It's not a cakewalk. It's not.
Nah. And it's shaking hands. It's touching base. It's sometimes they start saying, oh, these guys again.
Yeah. Oh, they do say that. Are you kidding? Okay.
It's being prepared, though, with the, you know, to counter. Yeah. Yes. You can't just come up there and.
So they're using this, I guess, the teen brain thing, and they're using this study that apparently came out that said in the states, Washington and Oregon, that legalized, that teen use went up. So that's the thing they're using, but I can show you 5 studies that say just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, and the bottom line is people are consuming cannabis. At the end of the day,
people are consuming
cannabis and driving and doing all kinds of stuff. It's illegal, and we're not getting any benefit from it. There's no industry created. We're not getting any tax revenue from it. And it's supporting an illegal market where you want to throw more people in jail and break up lives instead of putting them into the game. Right.
It's very simple to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, to us. But, I mean, obviously not everybody sees it the same way we do, and that's where we got to change their minds.
They're blind.
Let me do this real quick. I should have done in the middle of the show, but now we'll do it at the end. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM. We're going to get fired. Broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and newhavenindependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/newhavenindependent. Or go to your Facebook page and look us up. So
hit the button, view first, all that.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
I'm at Canna Health today from 3 to 6 and tomorrow in New Haven from 2 to 6.
Yes.
All right.
We appreciate you. We'll see you next week. High.
Thank you.
Yes, Joe. Yeah.
Told the plug I need 100 pigs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 pigs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I'm in Cali every week, I go hard. Bro said he got sour, need that whole yard. I'm chasing turkey bag, I'm chasing gold yard. Tell the dime we won't go far. Blue sherbet stuff the whole jar. 100 P's on the Bay Bridge, stuck in traffic. If I ever run into Riri, let's make magic. Die doing something you love, it ain't tragic. Heard what I said, it ain't tragic. From the home of lay down, smoking ratchets. Never win when you spell it backwards. I got green in the bay, my whole team Packers. Told the plug I need 100 P's. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 P's.